Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you. Monday, November 11th. Let me start off by wishing all our nation's veterans a very happy Veterans Day. Thank you so much for all you do for our country, the selflessness, the sacrifice, very much appreciated. As a daughter of a veteran who passed away a couple months ago, I appreciate it. I understand it. And I just wanted to put that out there first and foremost because, hey, that's what it's all about, folks. Okay, so let's get to the football side of things now. And the Giants with a 34-27 loss to the New York Jets. And I don't know that I want to spend a whole lot of time talking about this game. And not because of just the outcome, but just I want to focus on the bigger picture as to where the Giants are at this point and where I think they need to be. And I've been doing a lot of writing on Monday morning as I record this podcast because I just had a lot of things I was thinking about last night when I came back from the game, things that I just wanted to let percolate a little bit in my head before I put it down. Because look, sometimes when you're emotionally charged, and last night was very emotional, sometimes you just don't articulate what you want to say in the proper format. And I had to sleep on it, you know, just like I had to sleep on what I was going to say on this podcast before I jumped into, you know, recording it. So having done that, having stepped back, calmed down, taken a look at things with clear eyes and whatnot, there's a bunch of things that I want to talk about. And I touched upon some of these things in my articles that you can find on the Maven at si.com/NFL/Giants. But I want to talk about some of them on this podcast. And I just think the first thing that definitely needs to be discussed is we need to go back to what the Giants were, for a lack of a better term, selling the fan base, the media, about this franchise. And I go back to something that John Mara, that Dave Gettleman said back at the start of the year. And that is they were very reluctant to use the word rebuild. Okay. They wanted us to believe, and I suspect they wanted to believe, that they could, you know, reshape this roster while still being competitive, while still winning. And in retrospect, we know that that is not the case. You know, it's kind of like a house. You take a house, and depending on the amount of renovation you do in a house, sometimes it can be livable and sometimes it can't be. And in the case of the Giants, if you look back at what they've done, the Giants basically gutted their roster since Gettleman got here. Gettleman has also had to restock draft picks that were basically missing because of the poor decisions and other circumstances that befell the team under Jerry Reese. So what you had, you know, just sticking with our house analogy here, is you had a structure, in this case, the franchise, which was completely gutted, and which, you know, if you were to send an inspector in and say, okay, this house is inhabitable, the inspector would say, no, it's not. And that's where we are with this Giants team. You know, Gettleman gutted the roster, which needed to be done. Don't get me wrong. He added in a lot of new players, mostly on the youth side, you know, to replace some of the draft picks that just haven't worked out over the years. And we're trying to see this all come together. Now, where does coaching come into the equation? Like construction, you want to have people who know what they're doing, who have a plan, who don't fly by the seat of their pants. And I think when you look at the coaching, one of the biggest problems with Pat Shurmur is that his assistant group is probably one that I think could be a little bit better. I mean, you look at the areas where the team has struggled the most, the defensive secondary, the offensive line, the defense, and you question whether or not they have the right guys there to take those groups to the next level. I'm not so sure that they do, but, you know, at least not based on what I've seen. I don't know that it gets any better, but that's kind of where they're at with the coaching staff. And that's why I think if any changes are going to be made over the bye, that is where I would look to see if a change is made. I think, you know, people are calling for Pat Shurmur to be fired, and he might not make it to next year. I do think, however, he will finish out the season. But I think, you know, if you're looking for changes to be made, you got to look more short term. What can be done quickly that, you know, realistically is going to follow, you know, help this team? Firing Shurmur, you know, ask yourself who's going to replace them on the staff. It's not like they're going to go out and they're going to get another head coach to come in and, you know, carry things over. You're going to have to pick someone from the staff. And at this point, who do you pick? Do you pick Mike Shula, who I don't believe has ever been a head coach at the NFL level? Do you pick James Betcher, whose team is struggling or his defense is struggling? Do you pick Thomas McGahee, who I don't know that he's ever been a head coach at the NFL level? So really, folks, the reality of the situation is you stay with Shurmur. You know, this isn't like with McAdoo when you at least had Steve Spagnuolo, who had had experience as a head coach, able to step in and take over on an interim basis. So for those of you calling for Shurmur to be fired this week, it's not happening. I just don't see it happening. Do I see possible tweaks to the coaching staff? Yes, I could see that. Do I see ownership and GM Dave Gettleman maybe suggesting to Pat Shurmur to relinquish the play calling? Yes, I can see that. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the next segment. So let's take our first break. And when we come back, I will discuss why I think it makes sense for Pat Shurmur to give up the play calling.
The Locked On Giants podcast is brought to you in part by BlueChew.com. Visit BlueChew.com and enter promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first shipment for only $5 shipping and handling. That's BlueChew.com.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you. It is segment two. And this is kind of a retrospect as we kick off the bye week. The Giants coming off a 34-27 loss to the Jets. They have lost six in a row. They are 2-8 on the season. The season is lost. They are going backwards and just not a very, very good time for Giant fans and for those of us in the media too. I mean, who likes covering a losing team? It's very frustrating. It's like, I feel like I've been writing the same thing week after week after week. And, you know, I'm trying to give you guys something different, different perspectives as they come to me, but there's only so many ways you can dissect this stuff. And I just don't know how else to do it. So anyway, I started to talk about at the end of the last segment about Shurmur giving up the play calling. And those of you who have read me and listened to me, you know I've been beating the drum for this for the longest time. It's just something I am not a fan of. And I know there are coaches that are successful. Andy Reid is an exception. Last year, we saw Sean McVay pull it off. Although this year, you know, I think he has a 5-4 record, so the jury's still out there. But here's why I don't like the concept. Right now, you know, and I'm looking at Shurmur in particular here. Shurmur right now not only is trying to balance calling the plays for an offense, he is also dealing with a rookie quarterback's development. And on game day, he's trying to manage the entire football team. That includes the clock management, that includes, you know, personnel decisions, that includes whether to challenge something, call timeouts, all kinds of facets that, you know, that a lot of fans, you know, they know about it, but don't realize just how impactful they can be if you don't utilize and execute all this stuff properly. I don't care that Shurmur has been calling plays, you know, for however many years he's been doing it. Right now, the man has way too much on his plate, and I think it is hurting this team. I think his stubbornness in refusing to acknowledge that he has a lot on his plate is hurting the team. And I can sympathize with him a little bit. I mean, myself, sometimes I'm guilty of taking on too much. You know, I think, okay, I'm Superwoman. I can do all this stuff. I can write 5 articles, and I can do this, and I can do a live blog and whatnot. And then reality sits in, and then I get frustrated with myself because I'm not doing something, or I become overly critical of myself because I don't feel like I've given the best. And sometimes when you scale back a little bit and you take things, you know, big tasks, and you break them up into smaller pieces, that's when it all comes together. And it also all comes together when you delegate. Okay, that's something I know I've had to learn, and it's something that I would hope Shurmur would start to realize if he hasn't already. If you look historically at the successful coaches in the league, guys whose teams have been, you know, in the playoffs more often than not, Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin, Tom Coughlin when he was coaching, Bill Belichick, I know I'm missing a couple of other guys, trying to think whoever they were. But anyway, you look at those guys. What do they all have in common? They all have in common that they are CEO type head coaches, right? Which means that they're not tied up necessarily on one side of the ball to where they are putting the bulk of their efforts into that side of the ball. And therefore, they are able to better manage what's going on during game day. And that is a realization that I think once Pat Shurmur comes to it, whether he comes to it on his own or whether it is suggested to him, it's going to help him tremendously. There's no shame in admitting that you're overloaded and that you need help and you need to delegate. There's no shame in that. And I would hope that if nothing else comes out of this bye week, that Shurmur turns around and says, you know what? I've been working with Mike Shula now for, you know, however many games it is, a year and a half, year plus, whatever. I'm going to trust him to call these plays. Now, here's the beauty of it. If Shurmur does that, now he still has the flexibility to overrule something he doesn't agree with. Because right now, folks, if you're talking about a system of checks and balances, there is none on offense. It's the head coach's decision, and that's it. You know, maybe Shula gives him some input. Maybe he gets some input from the other offensive assistants, but ultimately it comes down to what Shurmur wants. And if Shurmur has his mind made up, I question just how much he's listening to the input he's getting from the other guys on his staff. And that is a problem that needs to be resolved. That is something that Shurmur can resolve and has the power to. And I just think that if that decision is going to be made, that it should come from him. It shouldn't come down to, you know, ownership or Dave Gettleman sitting him down and saying, okay, Pat, this is how it's going to be moving forward. You know, they shouldn't have to make that decision for him. So we'll see if he makes that decision. I am not confident that he will, but hey, stranger things have happened, right? Now, speaking of decisions and whatnot, and I want to talk about progress here, because this is something, if we go back to the beginning of the season, John Mara spoke about it, wanting to see progress. Now, he never really defined what progress is. Did it mean a better one-loss record than last year? Did it mean getting to the playoffs? What exactly did progress mean? And that's, to me, a big kind of like a gray area. But here's what I can tell you. Whatever Mara meant by progress, I can safely say that what we have seen isn't progress. All right. The Giants have gone backwards in so many areas, from the defense, from the offensive line. I mean, look at the offensive line, folks. This, on paper, the talent was much better than what they had last year. But yet the run blocking has been atrocious. All right. Saquon Barkley getting 1 yard on 13 carries, you know, ankle or bad ankle or no bad ankle. That shouldn't happen. All right. That's on the offensive line. You know, the pass blocking, you can make the case that, you know, there were other circumstances that, you know, Barkley missed a couple of blocks or Daniel Jones is holding the ball too long or whatever. But run blocking, that's on the offensive line to a large degree. All right. They've got to get it pushed. They've got to open up holes. And that's just not happening. And that, to me, is a huge concern. All right. So you look at the defense. And you look at fundamentals that are lacking, and I've been talking about this week after week after week, and I wrote about it again today. The fundamentals are behind the mistakes. You know, we hear things about how every mistake that is made is unique, you know, whether it's an interception, whether it's a fumble, whatever the case may be. But folks, here's the reality. Fundamentals are behind the mistakes, all right? You can look at Daniel Jones, for example, and all the fumbles he has. And Pat Shurmur can talk about, you know, he got tomahawked, for example. But if Daniel Jones isn't keeping two hands on the ball until he's ready to throw it, that's a fundamental that is happening over and over and over that is going uncorrected. We can talk about the big plays being given up in the secondary. Okay, if guys aren't, you know, turning and looking for the ball, or if there's miscommunications or there are missed tackles, that's a fundamental. We can look at the run game, the run defense. If opposing runners are able to break free for big yardage and linebackers aren't getting off blocks or they're taking bad angles or they're freelancing, that's fundamentals. And that, folks, is why this team is struggling. Yes, the mistakes are different because there are different circumstances, different opponents, different, you know, down and distance, different angles or what have you. But it boils down to the fundamentals. And I once had a football player tell me this. Actually, several football players have told me this. The key to winning football is to beat the man in front of you. It comes down to mano a mano, man versus man. And if your fundamentals are on point, 9 times out of 10, you will win your battle. If your fundamentals are not there, you are going to lose more battles than you would like. And that's what I think we are seeing, folks. This is a team that is struggling with fundamentals. And until that is fixed, and yes, folks, that is a correctable thing. That is something the Giants can fix over the bye and moving forward. But until it's fixed, we're going to see more of the same in terms of the football quality we have been seeing. We'll take our final break, come back with some final thoughts, so stay with us. Hey, Giant fans. Long day at work? Still stuck at the office? Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and get your food delivered to you wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants Segment 3. Patricia Traina here with you. It is Monday, Veterans Day, November 11th. Trying to make sense of where the Giants go from here. And for this segment, I'm actually, as I record this segment, just finished up with head coach Pat Shurmur on the conference call with the New York media. Coach Shurmur has a call with the media usually after a road game. So we did a conference call today. Just a couple things to come out of that. Shurmur was asked point blank, does he plan to make any changes to his staff? And he said, you know, after sleeping on it, he's sticking with the status quo, just basically says, look, we have to coach better and we have to play better. And, you know, folks, I get it. You don't want to have to fire people. I understand it. That's like literally the last extreme you want to have. But at some point, you've got to ask yourself, look, if you're not getting different results, if the results are the same and they're not advancing you, something's got to change. And, you know, Shurmur's been talking about playing, you know, playing better and coaching better literally from day one. And it just isn't happening. I just don't know, you know, what the answer is. I mean, if I were in Shermer's shoes, like I've said in this podcast, I would definitely give up the play calling and try and be more of an in-game manager, you know, lighten some of the load on my plate. I would look to see what's going on, you know, why the offensive line, the run blocking has taken a step backward, why the defense isn't coming together. I just don't, you know, understand what the obsession is with the status quo, because the status quo has not been good enough. And hopefully they change something up. I don't know, you know, maybe after having their meetings and discussions that I'm sure will be taking place the rest of Monday and probably the rest of the week, there will be some differences, but we will see. I just don't know, though. Really kind of, well, I guess I shouldn't say I'm disappointed, because I didn't expect Shermer to announce on the conference call that he was going to make some changes without, you know, especially if he hasn't spoken to the guys in question, but we'll see what happens. Sometimes things do change and sometimes they don't. And if they are going to change, hopefully the changes will be for the better and it will result in the Giants playing better and winning a few more games. But, anyway, I asked Shermer also about the fundamentals being at the core of the problems, because as I said in the articles, every week it's something different that happens, but at the core, I think, are the fundamentals. And basically, I got coach speak, you know, we have to coach better, we have to play better, we have to address the fundamentals, et cetera, et cetera. A couple of injury notes, Janoris Jenkins, who left the game yesterday, he is in the concussion protocol. Probably, you know, Shermer didn't say that Nate Solder was, but that can probably be a safe assumption since he was diagnosed with a concussion. Sterling Shepard is still in the protocol, but Shermer said that he anticipates Shepard will be out there. The Giants will have a couple days of practice this week, and then per league rules, they will be off. I believe it's Thursday through Sunday, or it might be Wednesday through Sunday. I'm not sure. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I think I want to say they practice today and then they practice tomorrow and then that's it for them. But they will have a nice long weekend per league rules. I know some people are like they should get in as much practice time as they can, but you can thank the CBA for that one. Other things worth noting from Shermer's call. I asked him about Nick Gates, who was a player that I thought played well in his NFL debut. I thought Nick Gates held his own, and Shermer did agree with that. So nice to see that we both saw the same thing. It's always good when a coach validates what you're seeing. And, you know, Barkley, oh, here's the other thing. Barkley apparently went for an MRI, I believe, on his foot, probably on that injured ankle. And Shermer said that Barkley is feeling better, came in today, was feeling better. And when Shermer was asked, you know, any thoughts of shutting him down for the rest of the year, you know, especially given that the season is, for all intents and purposes, not going anywhere, Shermer was like, absolutely not. And that was his direct quote. So you can forget about that. Shermer just, you know, to me, sounds like he's just going to forge ahead and keep the status quo. And that worries me, guys, because the status quo so far hasn't produce results. And I don't know what, if anything, is going to change. I wish I could sit here and say, well, this is definitely going to change, that's definitely going to change, but I just don't have those answers for you. And we'll just have to wait and see, I guess, what they change, if they change anything. And quite frankly, if they don't change anything, that's going to be, to me, the biggest disappointment, because that's, to me, accepting that, you know, mediocrity is okay. You know, if you see the same thing happening week after week after week, and you don't do anything to fix it, that's like basically being accepting. And to me, that's just not okay. So we'll see what the Giants end up doing. It's going to be an interesting, you know, bye week. It's going to be a quiet bye week, I think. That's at least how it looks like it's going to be. And all I can say is just keep it here on the Locked On Giants podcast. We'll have a show on Tuesday. I'm planning a show on Wednesday. I'm planning Twitter Thursday this week. So again, if you want to get your questions in, send them in for me so that they can be aired on Thursday. You know the drill. tag them, ask P-Train. You can also send them to me via email at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. Friday, there won't be a show. I'm going to take a nice long weekend so that I can reacquaint myself and reintroduce myself to my family. And then we'll be back next week with the usual lineup of shows. So as always, Giant fans, thank you so much for tuning in and hang in there with me. You know, we're doing the best we can and we'll get through this. We always do. So we'll talk to you again tomorrow.